Last week we talked about unhypnosis. And, of course, as a mechanism, it was from Dr. Steve Taubman, and as a mechanism to help us strip out limiting beliefs, overcoming limiting beliefs in a shorter period of time than going through 2 years of Clemmer work or massive personal development work that just keeps working you through, you know, what's keeping you stuck. Because some of us, things that kept us stuck, you know, now that we're in our 40s, 50s, or 60s, they've been keeping us stuck for a lot of years. And we've gotten so stuck that we're stuck not even knowing what they are. So critically important, because I truly believe that the only thing holding people back in this world is their limiting beliefs. It's just because as a man thinketh, so is he. The magic of believing. I mean, there's phenomenal amount of documentation out there, both scientific and just personal development type stuff that may not just be as science-based, but nonetheless accurately portrayed by the self-development gurus. But the idea is that we hold ourselves back. Our greatest limiting factor in our life is ourselves, and we all need to recognize that. A lot of us point our fingers because it feels more comfortable to point at somebody else than to look in a mirror. But the idea is, don't look in a mirror and say you're wrong or you're bad. Look in a mirror and say the following words: how can I be more effective? And that's exactly how I live my life every day. I'm saying, how can I be more effective? Well, last week we did the unhypnosis, and somebody in response to my unhypnosis talk came back to me and said, well, Mary Jo, there's a great book out there that's Christian-based called Who Switched Off My Brain, and written by Dr. She told me about Dr. Carolyn Leaf. And so I started doing research on it after I got off done with that call last Monday night and whatever, and I realized that I actually had her book in my library. And so I dug out her book on Who Switched Off My Brain, and I started reading it, and I was really enjoyed it. I mean, it's very scientific, because Dr. Karen Leaf is a doctor. She has spent 20, 25 years on brain research. So she has gone through all the analysis of, you know, the brain and how it works and every aspect of it, how it transmits data, all these things, which is fascinating. I mean, it's maybe a little too scientific for some of us, and some of it might, you know, if you read her book, that might slow you up a little bit. It's like working through the murky waters. But she has tremendous program out there to help us bust out limiting beliefs and to reprogram ourselves, because it's fascinating how she describes how thoughts work and how thoughts control us and how all the things that go on, and how do we get rid of limiting or toxic, she likes to use the word toxic, thoughts, because anything that limits you, to me, is toxic. So today, I'm going to review her first book, which is Who Switched Off My Brain. She has another book out there, because that happened to be the one I had in my library. It's called Switch On Your Brain, and where she develops even more so the five-step learning process, which is drawing on the intersection of neuroscience, biology, cognitive neuropsychology, language and communication sciences, and intelligence research, all of that put in one. So, but this book will get you in a great place if you want to move forward, and then I'm going to give you a suggestion at the end of this talk today about what you can do as your next step. If this is something that fascinates you and interests you, and I wish and hope that it interests everybody. In fact, I personally, with all the work that I've done, know that I need more work. And so I'm personally doing the next step. And so we'll talk about that when we get to the end, assuming I make it through. And bear with me, people. I have a very sore throat. And it sounds like, and I don't know if it's allergies or cold coming on, but something's happening inside my body, so I'm going to do my best to make it through. So let's just talk about Carolyn Leaf's book. So 2 decades of brain research, 25 years now that she's been involved in this, and tremendous credentials, Christian-based. So for those of you who aren't of that ilk, you can still get a tremendous amount out of it. But those of you who are, she used biblical verses throughout her book. And it's really about opening ourselves up to be able to move forward with the freedom that we're given in our life to do so, but we tend not to do that because we get stuck. And we get stuck because we clog our brain with stuff that just holds us back. And some of it we know about, and most of it we don't, which is what's so what's so fascinating about this kind of work is that we keep walking down the street blind when we have a, it's kind of like being a blind person and having the ability to regain your eyesight, but you either choose not to know it, or you don't want to know it, or you don't know it, right? Right? One of those. So why don't we open our eyes and be better? And because we all want to achieve the maximum possible results for our life, I think that can also be an assumption, but I'm going to come from that assumption because I know I want to maximize my time here on Earth with being the best I can be. And that's my goal, my direction, and so I'm always in pursuit of that. So let's jump in. The book by Carolyn Leaf, this is her Who Switched Off My Brain? And she starts in her introduction, she just kind of goes through a bunch of questions about, have you ever felt discouraged or unfocused or overwhelmed? All of these are normal human, you know, feelings, of emotional feelings. If we look at our life, do we see unhealthy patterns in our life? And these are questions just to answer. And you can, if you don't see them, that doesn't mean they're not there. It's just, these are just a starting point. Or do you see unhealthy patterns in your family that you just can't break? And we know scientifically how thoughts affect our emotions and our bodies because science is really clear today. We have so much science behind us. And so the concept that we now know that toxic thoughts and emotions can be basically swept away, and that's her terminology. Sweep. How do I sweep away toxic thoughts and toxic emotions? And your brain can be switched back on so that you're now mentally functioning with full brain capacity instead of allowing toxicity to limit you. Thoughts, both toxic and non-toxic, are measurable and occupy mental real estate. So if you think about your head and your brain as a map of real estate, your toxicity, your thoughts, whether they're toxic or not, occupy space. They stay there. And it's a good visual to have because now you can understand that a thought is occupying a space in your head. It's taking over some real estate. And you know how we use the word fleeting thoughts? Well, the reality is if we put that thought in our mind and we don't dismiss it immediately or within a short period of time, and she goes through the whole analysis of how thoughts get stuck in our brains, that thought's there. It may be a fleeting thought in your moment right now, but you know what? It's stored. It just hasn't come up for a while. You know how sometimes we go through the experience and go, wow, I hadn't thought of that in a long time. Well, guess what? That thought's still there. That thought is still there. It's even, let me explain something else to you. This is so remarkable. This weekend, we have so many new people joining the business now that I put together a webinar this weekend for my group called the ABCs of Prospecting. And we had like 30-some people on that webinar, which was a lot of people, but I was excited about it. And what was amazing is my people who had been in network marketing in Manitech for 10, 15 years were overwhelmed by the material. Because why? Because the ideas that I taught on Saturday morning were ideas they'd heard before, but what happened to them is they got stored, but they got stored somewhere where they didn't come up again. In other words, we lost track of them. They're there, but we lost track of them. They're missing, and they're out of action, which means we're not incorporating them in our everyday life. So it was an incredible training for my people that have been in the business 20 years, and here I was kind of aiming it at new people, right? But we can always get that training back into us to really refresher. It's like a refresher course of things that we already know we know, but they somehow got stuck somewhere in that brain, and they're not popping up for us. They're not showing up. So we have plenty of that. And there are 12. She says our thoughts are active. They grow and they change. We you know they're always in motion. It's like visualizing them like a tree, like this little sprout you've planted when you planted that thought, and it's always growing and changing. And the of course the downside to that, if it's a negative thought, it's growing, right? But the upside of it is they're changing. So we can always go in there and reformulate that thought, right? Or we can dismiss it totally. So they influence every one of our decisions, our words, our actions, and our physical reaction. It's why some people say that we really don't make 98% of our decisions. We don't make. They're automatically made for us because we're already programmed to think a certain way because of what we've stored in our brain in the past. Some people say brain or they say soul or heart, whatever, but we've stored them in our subconscious, and they control what we do, what we say, how we react. It's the reason when somebody asks you a question, you go no really fast, and you really didn't even think about it because it's already programmed. So sometimes it's good to look at what is that programming doing for us, because a lot of it is not necessarily serving you. It's not most effective, let's put it that way. And she's quantified it in her, all of research she's done, she's quantified 12 different areas of toxic thoughts, and which can be poison to our minds and our bodies. She calls them the dirty dozen, and we're going to walk through those later. The research today shows that up to 80% of our physical, emotional, and mental health issues could be a direct result of our thought lives. That's huge. So this is a training today about how to be healthier across the board, physically, emotionally, mentally, all across the board, because we're working on what? Our thought patterning. And 80% of our physical, emotional, and mental health is tied directly to our thoughts. Our thought patterning has a repercussion on all of those areas of our life. The brain really can change. She developed what's called a brain sweep. It's a series of sequential questions that will take your brain through a detoxing process. So that's our introduction. Let's talk about toxic thoughts first, because we really want to understand that what is a toxic thought, how do thoughts actually occur in our brain. Every single thought, whether positive or negative, goes through the same cycle when it forms. And your attitude is an aggregation. What your attitude is as you're out there is an aggregation of all your thoughts put together and reflects your state of mind. Attitudes cause secretion of chemicals which create physical reality in our body and our mind, creating an emotion. So we actually, from an attitude, have an emotional response. And if you take all three of them, you take thoughts, you take attitudes, you take emotions, and all of those impact your body either in a positive or negative way. We actually feel our thoughts through our emotions. In other words, the emotional side is the outward expression of our thoughts. Every memory we make based on the thoughts that we have has an emotion associated with it. And how do we know that that's true? Is that if you can just sit back, and she gives this example in the book, she says if you just sit back and you think about an upsetting time in your life. So if everybody on this call just can think of, it might have been this morning when your husband kissed you goodbye to go to work and made some derogatory comment, or it could be something that happened to you last week. We don't have to think back very far probably to come across something that caused an emotional response. When you think back and you think, okay, what was an upsetting time in your life? What happens is the thought comes back into your head of that event, and you immediately start emoting, because the thought carries with it the emotions around it. Did everybody get that? Pretty incredible. It's not we're not choosing again how to emote. The thought carries that. So and that's why we need to start looking at every thought as critically important to our makeup, because every single thought is about who we are. And as Scripture tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he. So every thought we have becomes who we are. So if we're going to have, if we're going to truly renew ourselves, and we know in Scripture it talks about renewing of your mind, becoming a Christian and renewal of your mind. It's about wiping out the old, the past, the negatives, the sinful nature, all the things that go on, and renew your mind. How do you do that? Whitewash that brain. Get rid of the old. Get rid of the past. Get rid of the things that are robbing, the shame, the blame. We have so many derogatory thoughts and concepts that we keep, and emotions and events that we store in our brain that are just eating up space, but more importantly, or more devastatingly, they're eating away at our ability to move forward in a most effective way. So we want to relieve those. She talks heavily in her book about stress, because stress is an important concept, because what happens around stress is that whenever we, if you look back at our thinking patterns, that when we have toxic thoughts, which trigger the negative emotions, we tend to trigger things like anger and frustration, and all these things come up, but rage, hatred, all these kind of things. We even have things like repressed unforgiveness about people, and one of the things I work on a tremendous amount in my Changing Environments Foundation when I work with people is I work with them on a perspective of digging deeper to find where that repressed unforgiveness is, because sometimes people don't even know, but they've stored it. It's stored there. It's in their thoughts, but it's buried, because thoughts can be in your present mind or they can be thoughts that you've stored, right, because we have a phenomenal storage capacity. But if you can find that that repressed unforgiveness, because it's eating at you every day even though you don't know it, it doesn't have to be in the forefront of your brain for it to be destructive for you. So the concept is that we want to look back in our memory and look at those, you know, what's in our past, what kind of things we've had in the past that are actually creating stress on our body without us perhaps even knowing it. We do know when we feel stress, we can acknowledge where it's coming from, so we can do something immediate. But we have stress that can be a consistent stressor in our life because of what we're carrying, the baggage that we're carrying. And the dirty dozen, all of the dirty dozen, all thrive on stress. So the stress puts a severe strain on your body system, including the brain, and we want to remove stress. And she goes through a huge pathway around stress and talks about it extensively. sorry. I think there's some part of the book that I wanted to share with you around that stress as well, because it was really impactful. She talks about the concept that when you're under extreme stress, chemicals flood your body and create physical effects caused by the intense feelings. When those feelings are, for example, anger, fear, anxiety, or bitterness, the effects on your health are nothing short of horrific in the long term. So know that anger, fear, anxiety, or bitterness all create horrific long-term effects. And this is all scientifically proven. This isn't just an assumption. Stress chemicals can be the kind of guests that don't know when they have overstated their welcome. If they stay, the chemicals in your body, because your system is imbalanced from toxic thinking, eventually they tunnel deep inside the recesses of our mind, literally becoming part of who you are. So buried feelings of anger, fear, anxiety, bitterness create volcanic buildups in your body. It's why sometimes you see people, you just touch them the wrong way and they explode. Guess what? It had nothing to do with what you did. It had everything to do with what was behind her, what happened a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, that was building. So when you internalize wounded emotions, you allow a seething mixture of anger, hostility, and resentment to develop, all very damaging to the human body. So we want to stay away from that happening. Those are the kind of toxins that really do destroy us. So if we look at stress and we look at the concept of stress, stress causes the wrong kind of chemicals in the wrong proportion to be released. So it impacts, and she goes through a whole analysis of how it impacts the immune system, the digestive tract, and the heart. So cardiovascular system as well. And she reviews all the research on all of these areas. And I'm just gonna highlight a couple of the things that what she talks about in terms of her research. She talks about the major various examples of heart conditions where stress is a major contributor are hypertension, angina, coronary artery disease, strokes, or cerebrovascular insufficiency, and aneurysms. All of these are heart conditions where stress is a major contributor. And if you look at the immune system, they also, resentment, bitterness, lack of forgiveness, and self-hatred are also a few of the toxic thoughts and emotions that trigger immune system disorders. Because your immune system has definitely been shown to be neurologically sensitive to your thought life. So who wants a shattered immune system, right? That's just going to really be a problematic. And then your digestive system is important to all of the bodily systems, and it also, unfortunately, is just as susceptible to come under attack with toxic thoughts and toxic patterns in our life. Some of the digestive orders which can originate from the effects of toxic thoughts and emotions include constipation, diarrhea, nausea and vomiting, cramping, ulcers, leaky gut syndrome, and irritable bowel syndrome or spastic colon. All of these are side effects of stress. So do we want that in our life? Absolutely not. We want to release our stress and get rid of the toxic thinking that supports all that stress. the toxic pathway, there's three stages of stress she talks about. First stage is temporary stress. That's where we have sweaty palms, fast heartbeat. A second stage of stress is prolonged, so starts becoming harmful to the system. And finally, the third stage is what we call chronic stress. Your systems reach exhaustion from this constant state of heightened alert because we're constantly in that state of stress. And look at how many things we let stress us out. How many stressors do you have in your life? And that's a great place to start if you're going to do work in this area, is just look at your life and say, what stresses me out? And look at the last week, some of you the last day, some of you the last hour of what the stressors are, because you got to tackle that. And if somebody says, what's one of our major stressors out there is something called money. People get stressed around money. Well, are we getting stressed around dirty paper, or are we getting stressed because of what? It starts with our thoughts about money. Do you follow me? It's not money itself. It's our thoughts about. So what is our thinking about money? So that would be a great place for you to start on this path of resolving your stressors, resolving your, you know, your thinking, your constraints, your limited thinking, because money should never be a stressor. It shouldn't be a stressor because we need to resolve our relationship with money. I can see some of the poorest people in the world having the happiest, most joyful life. Money doesn't dictate whether you have joy or don't have joy. For me, I was joyful before I had any money. Money in my life just means I get to do more things that make me even more joyful because I feel a part of making a difference in many more ways. That's the joy of having more money. So could we say in our lives we could perhaps experience greater joy if we had more money? They can. But you can also, more money can also cause you to have greater heartaches. Because as I tell everybody, money doesn't change a person. Whenever you look at somebody, you say, oh my gosh, you know what, they were such good friends of ours and so fine, and then they made all that money and they're, look at how they totally changed them. Now they're disasters. I'm going to suggest, and all the literature and all the research will tell you the same thing, that money doesn't change a person. It just makes a person be more of who they were. You didn't see that side of the person when they didn't have money because they couldn't expose themselves without the money. It gave them the opportunity to expose themselves. Does that make sense? And the reason I like to harp on this with people is because I know there are people out there that have a limiting belief in their head. And their limiting belief looks like this. Well, thank goodness I don't have more money because I would feel like nervous and I worry about what I might do with it and I might make myself look bad. So they use that as a justification not to be successful. And I look at it as total confusion over money. Because money will never make you look bad. You can make yourself look bad and choose to do bad things with money, but why do you think you have so little control over your actions? You know? Get right with yourself and your thought patterning and get right with God, get right with whatever your faith might be, and it'll lead and guide and direct you to do great things with money. So, and trust me, building churches in Brazil, I just wrote another check last week. What a blessing. I mean, every time I do get to do that, it's an honor that I get the opportunity to do that. It's an honor. And it just blesses me, but it's not even how it blesses me. I look at all the people down in that small community who didn't have a church, and now they're going to have a church. Because I choose to be as financially successful as I possibly can, so I can do those things. So be aware of that. Don't allow limiting that belief on money is one of those major toxic thoughts. So that's just highlighting, getting you on a pathway to start moving towards the direction of taking some action to release yourself from those things. So we confront our repressed unforgiveness, anger, hate, rage, hatred, or any other form of toxic thinking. We all have a medical need to forgive ourselves. This is critically true. Notice how she calls it a medical need to forgive, because unforgiveness eats at you. It doesn't eat other people. You've heard this story so many times, but I'm just highlighting it again. If you're walking on this earth, I worked with somebody just yesterday. I could work with probably every person that walks my path is carrying unforgiveness in some way. Isn't that amazing? Really. And I could work with every single one of them. It's just a joy to be able to talk about unforgiveness because people will look at me and they'll argue with me like they're right. You know, well, this person did this to me or this person that I said so. And they look at me like you're just, you, Mary Jo, you don't know what you're talking about. Or you don't, you know, they love to attack Mary Jo. And that's fine because, you know, I don't have a problem. Because I know that I know that I know. When you carry unforgiveness inside of you, most of the time the other person doesn't even know about it. Secondly, it's not destroying them, it's destroying you. So why would you want to carry a rotten apple inside of you? Why would you want to carry cancer inside of your body when you have a choice to remove it? Why would you want to carry that forward? Release it. And you go, how can you? My husband, here's a classic this morning. You guys will love this one. This is kind of cute. My husband this morning, somebody, he comes in and he goes, you know, honey, I have my lunch bag. He has this little lunch bag that's kind of fabric from his company, Kone Elevator Company. And he takes his lunch every day. I make his lunches every week. That's part of my, you know, contribution to him and helps him stay healthier because I have control over food stuff, so I enjoy that. So anyway, I make his lunches every week, and he takes his lunch to work. And somebody, one day last week, they had a luncheon outside, and somebody took his luncheon, his little fabric bag with his lunch in it out of the refrigerator. And so it's missing. So he's so angry, and he wants to, he goes, rah, rah, rah. And he goes, well, I'd really like to get that one back. And I said, well, why don't you just put a note on the refrigerator and just ask, you know, whoever accidentally took his lunch bag, if anyone ate, that you'd really enjoy to have it back. And he goes, how can you say that? I, rah, 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 rah. They stole it. Now, he's in total unforgiveness. He's also in total judgment. You know, I don't jump to conclusions about anything. Well, his analytical brain tells him, because it has his entire lunch in it, somebody obviously stole it, and they're not going to give it back to me. Look at how it's trapping him. So he's carrying this anger around in him and judgment about a stupid lunch bag. Well, it's not stupid to him because he's in the analyst quadrant. So this morning he wakes up, and you know, I told him this yesterday, and he looks at me and goes, honey, could you write the note that you had put on the refrigerator? Because I'm afraid if I write it, it will be so insulting, the person would never respond. Isn't he? At least he knows himself well enough. So I was able to give him a note, and I said, I appreciate you. Thank you much for returning this, you know, and signed it, Hugh Hill. I mean, it was the sweetest note. Hugh never could have written that in a million years. Because he's carrying so much judgment around it. But this is the toxic kind of thinking that just eats away at us. An unforgiveness we carry that is nonsensical. And if nothing else, and he goes, well, what if the person doesn't give it back? And I go, then you let it go. I'll buy you a new one. Who cares? Well, you know, he's all caught up in over a lunch bag, and I go, oh my gosh, just drives me crazy. We don't have enough time on this earth, we don't have enough moments in our life to carry this kind of baggage. So we need to detoxify our thought life. We need to get rid of it and get back to, you know, rebuilding it, or even better, learning how, rebuilding our thought patterning, which is what she helps us do, or even better, learn how not to build it in the first place. Because when a thought enters our mind, our greatest opportunity of releasing it is right in that moment, before it gets stored. Because if we let it process, and she goes through the amygdala and all the process of how a thought gets stored, and I even gave you a picture of the brain right out of as an attachment, inside the brain picture that kind of goes through the process there for you, just to give an idea what's in her book. But she goes through the whole thing of how a thought gets processed and how it goes from step by step throughout the brain to get finally stored. But we have a moment when we have an opportunity that we can take that thought and we can release it before it ever gets stored. That's what I love to do. It's part of the, you guys have heard me talk about with Lydia, the concept of next. Like when something bad happens, Lydia makes a mistake or somebody does something wrong or something, and she would get all wound up about it and da-da-da-da and get fretful and all this kind of stuff. And I'm looking at her, I said, what? I said, she goes, how come you're not mad at me? And I go, why would I be mad at you? Because I screwed up and I didn't. And I said, so what? Are you going to do it 10 more times intentionally? And she goes, no. Are you ever going to do it? No. I said, so why would I be mad at you? I said, if you learn from your mistakes, all you do is have to go next, move on. And she was so frustrated that I was able to do that. Well, why do I do that? I mean, I've been doing it all my life. And it's probably because somewhere in my life as a child, I understood immediately there's nothing I can do about the past. I can only make today a better day. I can live my life in the moment, making it the best moment I possibly can. But dragging the past along, which means dragging a mistake somebody made, how somebody did me wrong, is just robbing me of my effectiveness in this moment. So I don't do that. I detach. So for me, it's, I can release those, but does that mean Mary Jo doesn't have other thoughts? Are you kidding? Wait till we get to the end. You'll understand because I'll show you what I'm going to go forward with. We all have things that we don't know. So why not find out and do a brain sweep of those things? So she talks about to detoxify our thought life, we must take back toxic thought back through. So what we do in this detoxification process is we have to grab that thought and we have to put it back into our conscious. We have to bring it back through the sequence to rebuild it. Because if we allow it to be stored back there and we're not even thinking of it, if it's just stored, we can't do anything with it. You can't change a thought that's stored that isn't in your conscious state because you're not even conscious of it. And that's what's so much going on for so many on this call and all of us in this world is the fact that we're not even conscious of some of our toxic thoughts that are destroying us or holding us back. Because they're not in our thinking process in this moment. They're just thoughts that have been stored. So we got to bring them back into our consciousness before we can redraft them, rebuild them, or discard them. So she formulated a process simplifying it into 5 stages. She calls it gather, reflect, journal, revisit, and reach. And that's the brain sequence to help people think and learn for lasting success. That's how we get through and push aside and start cleansing our brains of the toxic thinking that's within us. And then she applies that brain sweep, this kind of through the 5 stages, a brain sweep questions in each stage to trigger the process, which basically detoxifies the dirty dozen. So let's talk about the 5 different stages quickly, and then we'll talk about that. I don't know how much time we have left. I don't want to go too. Oh, we have plenty of time. Good. Okay. All right, let's go through the 5 stages and just talk about what those stages are. She talks about the science of thought have 5 stages. The first stage is what we call the gather stage, and the gather stage is basically we gather information, our electrical impulses from our 5 senses. So we're constantly processing information. In fact, the amount of data we put through our brain on a daily basis is off the charts. I mean, trillions of bits of data, especially in our connector society today where we get communication. We get thousands of things hitting us every, moment, right? I mean, we have so many sources between phones and computers and newspapers and, there's just so much data that comes into our lives every moment that we're collectors of tons of information, more so than any other time in society ever, because we're at our fingertips are just massive sources of data every moment. It's not like when I was growing up, whenever I look back, I just kind of smile because I think about if I wanted to figure out what a certain animal did or was like, I would have to go and get my Encyclopedia Britannica. Well, has anyone seen one of those lately? Right? Remember, today you just key in Google. You just go, and bing, you got, and then how much data do you have at your fingertips? You could spend the next hour choosing which data you want to really absorb, right? I mean, we just have massive, massive amounts of information at our fingertips that are just so readily available to us. So we gather information, our electrical impulses from our 5 senses. Second, we pass this info and decide whether it's temporary or permanent, and it is at this level that we can dismiss it so it doesn't stay with it at all. So gathering is really important. So, and you're going to find that this part of the stage of going back through that brain sequencing and brain sweeping is really marvelous because you're going to be pulling back thoughts out of your subconscious. You're going to pull back concepts that aren't in your conscious state right now. And you're going to pull those back out because as we get them back in, we get that they've already become permanent in our head, but we now, when we bring them back to our conscious state, by gathering them back up, we can choose to not think about this issue anymore, okay? Or we can dismiss it, or we can reframe it to make it something that's positive. We can reframe it, re-identify it differently, and then restore it if it's something we choose. So gathering is important because before we can do anything, we have to gather, we have to grab onto those thoughts that are carrying us today. Where are those limiting thoughts that we have today? So she has a whole process of how we go through that. And it's part of her, remember she talks about her questions that she has, the brain sweep questions. And I'll, you know, just give you some idea, like for one of the toxins, the toxic thought patterning, which is our major one, some of the gathering questions that she talks about, where you, these are the exercises you go through on a daily basis. When you're thinking about your thought life and gathering information, what are your five senses telling you? Are there any toxic memories or thoughts that cross your mind, even fleetingly? And you start writing them down. You start going, any toxic memories or thoughts that cross my mind? And, you know, it's funny how you go, well, Mary Jo, I'm not thinking of any. I says, that's, you're not focused on dragging them and dredging them back up. This is a gathering exercise. If you sit in the moment, free your thought process from anything else happening around you, and just focus on any toxic memories or thoughts that cross my mind. Are you gathering a lot of toxic could-haves, would-haves, and if-onlys? Are you gathering memories of conversations on repeat in your mind? Like memories of conversations on repeat that you keep hearing over and over again. Speculations, any speculations. Are you gathering passivity, dishonesty, distorted thinking, false perceptions? Are you gathering a personal identity from a problem or a disease? Are you gathering mayhem? One thought tumbling undeterred over another. So these are the questions that she has you ask yourself as you're focused on the gathering step in toxic thoughts. And those are the things that help generate for you ideas and concept pull. It's about dredging back up out of the subconscious things that are stored there. So that's gathering process. The second stage is reflecting. And reflecting is a stage that, you know, if you're going to get out of toxic, if you're going to remove yourself from your toxic thinking jam that's going on in your brain, you need to think, understand, and apply the wisdom you gain. So the concept is that you're going to become more aware of any of those negative beliefs, and that's what we want to do. We want to pull them out, and we want to focus on them and reflect on them. So in order to, you know, we have to gather them first, and then we reflect on them. We think deeply to understand. We start storing the facts, and we start looking at, you know, what do we do with these concepts, these ideas? We reflect on them, the costs and the prices we pay and the things that are going on for us. We're reflecting on, is this something that's powerful? And she talks about it, that research shows that around around seven deep thinking exercises for 10 minutes or so a day for a period of 21 days help create long-lasting change in this. So that the reflection process is crucial for us because we have to gather those toxic thoughts and then reflect on them, because the reflection process is about just how impactful they are on our body, how impactful they've been in our past. The third step in the five-step stages is journaling. So you start writing down your thoughts in the process because it consolidates the memory and it adds clarity to just what you have been thinking about. So you start journaling, and the journaling is about non-conscious and conscious thoughts. And you put them on a piece of paper as you start going through this process. And as you write them down, she even suggests you don't do it in linear format because your brain doesn't think in linear ways. So allow yourself to have this free flowing. And she says, use colors, use pictures, draw pictures. Start from the details and get into the, you know, break down into start from a big picture and get down to the details, and start with the details and get to the big picture. That way you're working with both the right and left side of the brain. So you're opening yourself to all possibilities. So you use colors as well. All of this is about journaling, because journaling is what really allows you to have on paper now. So you've gathered up those thoughts. You've reflected on them. You're now journaling on them, right? So, and you're probably doing this probably perhaps one at a time, two at a time, whatever. So you're going through the journaling process. You're drawing the diagrams, the pictures, the colors, the words that reflect this. This is all part of your process. And then you get to go back and look at what you've journaled, and you say to yourself, if I look at what I've journaled, is this the way I want this to be reflected in my brain, or do I have a better way of reflecting this? Do I want it to look differently? So you get to revisit it. You get to redesign. This is where you get to be the artist and redesign that thought. You can toss it aside. You can redesign it. You can reinforce it. If it's something that's really working for you, then reinforce it. But it's a major step in detoxifying your thoughts. And at the end of every Dirty Dozen segment of the book, there the brain sweep questions, like I just read to you about the gathering, they occur at each one of the five levels. So you have questions on each one of them. We can't control our circumstances, but we can control our reactions to our circumstances. And that's what's going to happen, because we look back and we're going to come across some toxic things that happened to us, and we can say, oh, well, how do I change that from having happened to me? It happened to me. I actually was there. That person did this to me. How do I change that? Well, you don't change the circumstances, but you can, what can you do? You can revisit and restate your reactions to it. It's kind of like, for some of you who have gone through the Clemmer work, you might remember Victim Responsible, where we go back and we take an event in our life where we're truly victimized by somebody. And we can write down all our languaging around it. How did it make us feel? And we can reflect on all the feelings that come out. And this is very much similar to what I'm talking about here with Dr. Leaf's approach, that we reflect on all the different, you know, what are the emotions that are around that event in our life, and how did it make us feel? And then we go back, our next step is, we go back and look at the same event, and we take a position of responsible. That doesn't mean that we're to blame or shame, which is somehow, many people give that definition to the word responsible, so they hate the word. I love the word responsible, because responsible to me means I'm able to respond. I have some authority. I have some stature. I have the ability to do something differently. So I can go back and look at an event in my life, and I can come from a position of responsible, and I can redraft it. And that's exactly what that exercise is about. It's about what? It's about revisiting something and reframing it in my life and disposing of thoughts that are not serving me and restoring myself with thoughts that are very powerful, empowering me to be the best I can be. So I can rid myself of the negativity and restore positive thoughts. Now, with some of the events in our lives, there's some theories out there that, you know, if you had a major event in your life, a crisis, and I think of the, you know, perhaps for me, like my brother's death or something, you know, which was, you know, I've just been so blessed to be able to get over that, and I love to talk about it from a perspective, because the more I talk about it, the more it even gets further from the concept of causing me emotional, you know, a negative emotional response. In fact, just talking about it right now, I don't have one. But the idea is that going through that experience that was so impactful on me, by me revisiting it, there's a scientific theory out there that says that every time we revisit a negative experience, if we revisit it and we repaint it in a different way, the next time we go back, we have 50% less of a negative response to it. So it starts off at 100. The first time we revisit it, now it's down to 50. The next time it's down to 25. The next time it's down to 12.5. The next time it's down to 6.25. You follow me? So we're significantly impacting it every time we revisit it. So it's not that I'm suggesting, or Carol, I don't know that she doesn't go through that 50% research concept, but she's, you know, it's not about that it's going to be gone. It'll never be there. But what are we doing is we're reducing the impact, the emotional, the negativity, the toxic nature of that event or what that happening or a thought, and we're reframing our thinking around it. And that's what this is all about. So we're getting rid of detoxifying our toxic thinking. So critical for us to revisit and work through that. And as we revisit, of course, we create incredible things. We you're looking not at how you think about circum, but how you're also rethinking through your reactions, evaluating the toxicity levels, and retranscribing them. And this is also where the Bible, you know, is great because it lays it out all for us in correctly managing principles for toxicity. At this stage where you're doing that, Matthew 6:25 is a place you can look where you don't worry about tomorrow. That's a good verse for a lot of us. We don't worry about tomorrow. And so you start, you know, again, scriptural references are all throughout all of this work that you can tie yourself to. It's so powerful. And if you revisit the thoughts you have and you base your thinking on God's word or the instead of worldly psychology, if you use some, you know, your faith-based, you're going to have foolproof methods for doing the right thing because there's such a powerful influence there on all the powerful positive emotions versus negative emotions that we have as well. And the fifth stage that she talks about, so we've been through revisit. The fifth stage that she talks about is our stage called reach. And this stage is where you actually take the steps, after you revisit it, you take the step and reach out beyond the toxic thinking by applying the principle of faith without works is dead. For example, you really forgive that person who treated you badly. For me, I really forgive my sister-in-law for what she did to my brother. You believe you will be healed. You stand in strength and belief. You believe your children will be fine. If you're a worry wart and that's part of your constant toxic, worrying is a toxic event. It's a stressor. So go back to all the physiological repercussions of stress in your life and choose, am I going to stay a worrier or am I going to overcome this worry wart? So you got to overcome it. So reaching would be once you revisit that toxic thought and you work through all, you basically reach beyond where you've ever been before and choose something different. Believe God's going to be your provider. You reach beyond your money issues and turn it to God. He's my provider. I don't worry about that. He's my provider. You can lose that unwanted weight that you have, that you're hanging on to because of a toxic belief you have. Release your mind from dwelling in the past. Get rid of it. The past can do nothing for your future. You can learn from it, but that's it. Learn and dismiss. So it doesn't drag you. It's not a rock in your backpack. Lose that, okay? So refuse to continue talking negatively. If you're negative about a situation, you want to release that because that's not going to serve you as well. And I put a quote in here that she said, finally we need to understand a really fascinating concept about the power of thought. When we think and use our free will to make a decision, we actually influence which genes are initiated or expressed in our nerve cells. This is called epigenetics. Emphasis that our perceptions of life shape our biology and not the other way around. We think our biology is what emphasizes our perceptions on life when it's the opposite. And quite brilliantly shows us the power of our thought life upholding the scripture, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So critical for us to recognize that we actually, our thinking patterns absolutely impact our genetics. That's amazing. The Dirty Dozen, I listed those for you. These are the 12 areas that she works on with the different questions: toxic thoughts, emotions, words, choices, dreams, seeds, faith, love, touch, seriousness. In other words, some people are toxically serious. My husband, I'm going to give him that chapter. Toxic health or toxic schedules. And many of us have toxic schedules. I highlighted that for me. There are people that are busy, 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 right? Toxic schedules. And so how do you overcome that? Well, she has the work in here to do all of that. And so I'm going to end today. We've gotten through the book. It's a great little book. I really enjoyed reading it. Lydia went to look on the internet, and she found this woman has a website, which everybody does today, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, and she came across a 21-day detox program. And I know there's a cost to it. It's like $29 or something like that. So a dollar a day for 29 days, and you can go through a 21-day detox program, right? And I Lydia and I looked at it and we said, well, I want to do it because I want to dig into my brain. You know, we all can improve. So you can go there and choose if you want to participate. I'm not recommending it by any means. I just am choosing it for myself. But I always am in a posture that, you know, if I can spend $20-$30 on something that could majorly, you know, unblock things in my head that I'm not even thinking of but are there, and I know they're there because I'm turning 60 this year, so I know that there are some things that are stored back there that haven't been cleansed. Maybe this little program is going to help me reach another level with it. But again, you got to be in the right place, and she'll help you with this in the program, that you're in the moment, you free your mind from other thoughts, and you allow yourself just to flow, go with the flow, and yield. And it's only 10 minutes a day for 21 days. So I suggest you take a peek at it and see if it's for you. It might be for you, maybe not. But she's got a lot of great stuff in her book and another way for us to take some action in our life that's going to help us release some of those things that are truly holding us back from creating the results that we really want to create. And if we're, it's my favorite when I tell people, I say, it's what we don't know that hurts us the most, right? Because we can't do anything about it if we don't know. And so this is about digging back in there and finding what those thoughts are, what are those concepts that we've stored and we're stuck with that are causing us and impacting our decision-making process every single day, but they're not real evident to us because they're just stored. And some of them are evident to some of us, but we want to run from them because we don't like them. They cause us pain, so we hide from them, we flee from them, we run from them. And all we're doing is saying, I don't care about being the greatness of what I can be as I walk on this earth. I'm giving up. It's too much pain, or it's too much this, or I don't want to go through it. And it's a choice. You can choose that. But I prefer you don't, because I look at this world, as I have for years, that we are only as strong as our weakest link. So if we can touch other people's lives, or touch our own life to be better, then to me, that's not just a choice, but it's an obligation. Because we want to be the best we can be so we can drive this population, we can drive this earth, we can spend our time on this earth, however long or limited it might be, and be the best we can be and make the most impact. So, love you guys. I hope you enjoyed it today. I really liked her stuff. I liked her approach, and I will update you as we go through our 21-day challenge because I think it's impactful. It's going to help. Lydia wanted to do it. I'll more than happy do it as well because, as I tell everybody, I won't have arrived until I end up in heaven, and then I've arrived. So as long as I'm here on earth, I want to be the best I can be. So anyway, great. Love you guys. Have a great week. And for those of you coming to Manifest, I can't wait to see you, hopefully on Thursday afternoon or early evening. We'll get together and see each other all Friday and Saturday and have an awesome Manifest with all the internationals being in town. It'll be terrific. So love you, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll touch base again next Monday. And, of course, next Monday, typical for me at the end of a Manifest, what do I do on the following Monday? I do a review of Manifest. So if you're not coming, you're going to get an opportunity to get that review. If you are coming, I know I always run into people at Manifest who go, oh, thank goodness you're here, Mary Jo, so I don't have to take notes. That's what I and I always say, no. You just don't have to take as copious notes. But, you know, if something impacts you from stage, you want to keep track of those aha moments that you have because they're important for you to grow and move forward as well. Okay, everyone, love you all. Have a great week and enjoy Mana Train. Everybody go visit the website and enjoy the new format there and give me some feedback. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.